Welcome to the Story Story Night podcast, where you hear true stories on a theme, recorded live on stage and without notes. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. Today, get a fix for your story habit with two dope stories from the theme Hooked, stories of cravings and compulsions. First, Elizabeth Rogers spends her Hawaiian dream vacation on someone else's heroin detox.
Hi. Okay. So Elaine was my best friend growing up. We'd been friends since we were 14 years old. We went to Hebrew school together. And she was a punker. She had like spiky hair and black makeup and ripped tights. And this is the 80s. And I always looked normal, but we were very good friends. And my mom always said, "Does she think she looks pretty like that?" And I would say, "It's not the point, Mom." And so I lived in New York for 10 years. And when I was 28, I moved back to Los Angeles, where we grew up. And I stayed with Elaine. And Elaine is the kind of person where she could talk to anyone that you'd sort of be nervous to talk to. And every first drug I did with Elaine. And Elaine was the type of person who was a bridesmaid at like 10 different weddings. A maid of honor at like 10 different weddings, because everyone thought Elaine was their best friend because she was so much fun. She was great to be around. She was my best friend, or I was one of her best friends. And I stayed with her when I first moved back for the first 3 weeks while I looked for a place to live. And so I found a sublet in the Hollywood Hills, and I'm unpacking my boxes, and I'm listening to the local NPR station. It's KCRW, and it's in Santa Monica. And they said that it was a pledge drive, which is normally annoying, but I thought, oh, I've never joined, and I really should. I was 28. It was time to be a grown-up. And so I called them up, and I said, I'd like to join, and I got a premium to Dutton's Books, and they said, you're entered in the sweepstakes. And I said, what is it? And they said, it's a trip to the island of Lanai. And I didn't know what that meant, but this feeling came over me, and I said, I'm going to win this thing. And they're like, well, good luck. I'm like, no, I'm going to win it. I know it. I want to tell you. They're like, good luck. And so I called my ex-boyfriend in New York, and I said, because I wanted to tell somebody that I was going to win it so that when I won it the next day, I wouldn't be saying, oh, I knew I was going to win. They'd be like, yeah, of course. So I called him up, and I said, I just joined the sweepstakes on NPR, and I'm going to win. And he said, you always think there's a closer parking space. He lived in Manhattan still. And he always resented my optimism. And I said, well, I'm going to win, and I'm not going to take you. And then I called Elaine, and I said, I'm going to win this sweepstakes. I just know it, and I'm going to take you, and we're going to go to Hawaii. And she says, how do you know? Because Elaine is a little more spiritual about these things. And I said, I just know it. And it's like it had already happened. I didn't have like one shred of doubt, not one. I knew I was going to win. And I just wanted to tell her before I won so that I could prove it. And so that night, I thought, oh, what am I going to say when he calls me? Because they always played the winner on the air. And I prepared for that. It's true. I was going to win. I needed to be prepared. And I went out early the next morning and exercised super early, which I never do anyway. But then I got back to my desk at 9 o'clock, and I just waited for the phone to ring. And at noon, it rang. I'm freaking out. My blood, like, went hot. And I picked up the phone, and it was Matt from KCRW. And I was really freaking out, because before I was like, oh, I know I'm going to win. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm winning. But I stayed really calm on the outside. And he said, hi, it's Matt from KCRW. And I said, hi, Matt. I know exactly what's going on, but, you know. And he says, so why did you join? And I had my prepared answer, you know, because I never joined before, and I thought it was time. And he said, and you have this gift certificate to the bookstore. And I said, yes. And he says, maybe you want to buy a book on the island of Lanai. And I said, why is that, Matt? And he says, Because you won our sweepstakes. Now, most people, when they hear this, they go, oh my God. You know, they act all excited. They scream and they cry and they do normal things that people do. And I was feeling all that inside. But more than that, I was feeling smug. And I said, yeah, I know. I've been expecting your call. And he said, do you have any friends or relatives who work at KCRW? I said, no, thank God. And I said, I told my friends yesterday that I was going to win this. And they must think I'm a witch. They're going to think I'm a witch. And Matt was not impressed with me. He never played my winning on the air. I think because it sounded so fishy. So I called Elaine, and by this time I'm screaming like a normal person, we won, we won! And she's screaming, and I said, I told you this yesterday. Why are you all of a sudden excited? And so we were so excited that we were going, and we decided, you know, when we were going in March, and when I also chose her because I didn't have a boyfriend at the time. And so we're getting ready to go, and Elaine calls me, and she says, you know, can your dad prescribe any Valium for me? Which I thought was a strange request because, well, one, my dad is a radiologist, and he doesn't own a prescription pad. And that's never happened before in our lives since we were 14. And I was like, no, he can't. And so we got to the airport, and she is grumpy as hell and not a lot of fun. And which is not great because we're going to a fancy place. Lanai, by the way, is where the Dole Pineapple Plantation was. It's where Bill Gates like rented out the whole island for his wedding. It's fancy, fancy, fancy. Really beautiful. So we get on the plane and we fly to Honolulu, and I'm feeling very esoteric about the whole thing. And Elaine is getting like tighter and grumpier and more irritable, and we're in Honolulu waiting for our connection to Lanai, and you know the soft Hawaiian air is blowing on us, and she's trying to like get comfortable on this cement bench outside the Hawaiian and Honolulu airport. And I said, Elaine, there's a reason I won this trip, and there's a reason we're taking it today and not like last week or next week, and there was a reason we were on this exact flight, and we may not know it now, we may not know it, you know, after the trip's over, we may not know it 10 years from now, but there is a reason. She was very uninterested in this. And so we get to Lanai, and it's exquisite. It's so beautiful. And we're probably in the crappiest room, and it's still so, so beautiful. Gardens around and white sandy beaches. And I go out snorkeling because Elaine wants to be in the room. She doesn't want to get too much sun. She doesn't feel good. And she's really crapping on my sweepstakes win. And I'm pissed, and I'm trying not to let her ruin this vacation. And I go, and I eat a fancy meal alone, and I go out to the beach alone, and I snorkel alone. And that night, it gets worse. She's, like, in and out of the bathroom, and by now, she's shuddering. She's like, and I'm like, God, what is wrong with her? And I was really deep, deep in denial. And it progresses the next day, and then we go up, we have two nights at the Manelli Bay Hotel, which is on the beach, and then we have two nights at the lodge at Kauele, which is in like the rainforest, this beautiful lodge. Like every detail is perfect in this place. And she's deteriorating. But I can tell instinctively it's not something she needs to go to the doctor for. So by the third day, I'm thinking, I think I gotta say something to her, because this is awful. And we're eating breakfast. And I say, Elaine, is there something you want to tell me? And she says, I said, is there something wrong? She's like, and I'm like, oh my God, this seems like it's so big, like it's going to affect my life. Oh, I don't know if I want to go any farther with this conversation. And I said, I think you need to tell me. And she's like, and I think, well, maybe I won't push it. But she's sitting, suffering across from me, you know, across from this beautiful breakfast with flowers and fruits and everything. And so I say, Elaine, you got to tell me. And she says, I'm detoxing from my heroin addiction. I'm like, and I'm freaked out. I'm Elizabeth Rogers. You know, I don't have friends who are heroin addicts. And so my first instinct is to say, I love you, I'll support support you. We'll get through this because really all you need is the love of your best friend to get through your heroin addiction. And I knew zero about this. And so we go to our massages because it's part of our sweepstakes win. We had actually a round of golf on a Jack Nicklaus designed course, but we don't play golf. So we traded it in for massages. And she went first. And by the time I got to the massage therapist, I get down on the table and she says, "I knew your friend was a heroin addict even before I laid hands on her. And you're not doing any favors by keeping her secret. And my sister, we put her in jail and her kids were taken away and it was the best thing that happened to her." I'm like, yeah, you're right. It was not a relaxing massage. And so we go to high tea after, because that's also part of our sweepstakes win. So we're with, you know, with lemon curd and finger sandwiches and scones and stuff. It's really beautiful. And she's sitting there miserably. Oh, and the massage therapist sent her into town to get supplements. I don't know what that means. In town to help her. Oh, she also told me that Elaine could die because of the cold turkey detox from her heroin addiction. And I said, "Elaine, you know, you need to tell your parents when we get back." She's like, "I can't tell them. They finally trust me." I'm like, "Well, not with good reason, honey. You know, you gotta." I did a 180. It's like she didn't know that the massage therapist had, you know, brainwashed me over that 1 hour. She thought the massage therapist was very judgy, by the way. And so I said, "You have to tell her." And I did call up Elaine's sister because I thought she was going to die. Or I didn't think she was going to die, but God forbid she died on my watch. I needed to tell somebody. Her sister was not surprised. And I thought, you know, I wish somebody had told me this. Why am I the only person who doesn't know that Elaine is addicted to heroin? And so we get back, and I had told her that if she didn't tell her parents 48 hours, I mean, who says 48 hours? 2 days, 48 hours, I said, from the time we get back, if you don't tell your parents, I'm going to tell them. And she totally called my bluff because I didn't tell them. And I told her I didn't want to see her if she were loaded. I went to an Al-Anon meeting with my writing partner, and I have a very sharp learning curve. And I'm like, oh, I get it. Boundaries, yes. And she doesn't make my life crazy. Got it. You know, and I only went to like two. And I did cut out all the crazy people out of my life, except Elaine, because Elaine was my friend since I was 14. So any crazy people that I was only friends with like 2 or 3 years, they were excused with my thanks. And so I lost touch with Elaine. You know, after 14, 15 years of friendship, she just, like, disappeared. And I would hear about Elaine over the years. I kept in touch with her family. And I would just hear horror stories about, you know, living on the street and car repossessions and stabbings and really, really awful things that you don't want to think that your best friend from childhood could ever happen to. And during this time, her father, who had a lengthy illness, died. And no one could find Elaine for a month. And she was devastated that she missed it. She totally missed it. And about 3 years ago, her sister called me and told me that Elaine was in jail and that she would really appreciate a letter from me. And so I wrote her a letter telling her about my life. I mean, she barely knew my husband. I had seen her twice over the ensuing years, and each time was very unpleasant. She looked like hell. Her energy, did you ever see, what was that, Rachel Getting Married? I mean, Anne Hathaway plays a good addict, just that icky, icky energy. And I really, we didn't know each other from the time, you know, we were 28 on. And so I wrote her this letter, and she wrote me back a letter because she's bored in jail. There's not a lot to do. And she wrote me this great long letter, and it was exactly how I remembered Elaine, because I always thought Elaine, you know, even if there was a miracle and she could become sober, she wouldn't be the same person because she's so damaged from being a junkie for so many years. But it was the same Elaine in this letter. And we wrote letters back and forth and back and forth, and it got a little less when she went to rehab. There was a state-sponsored rehab. She was in Arizona by this time. But we've stayed in touch, and about 2 years ago, Elaine had a baby with her long-term boyfriend who's also in recovery. And I know statistically, you know, it's not great, but Elaine is really healthy right now. And, you know, you can tell that little bullshit meter in your head when someone's working too hard to cover. And She's close with her family again. She has this beautiful, juicy, almost two-year-old baby. And it's a miracle. And, you know, when I won this sweepstakes, I started winning a lot of things. I won 12 cakes at Shea Stadium, from Carvel, like one a month for a year. I won $200,000 on the game show Greed. And I always thought, I win things. And I always thought, well, I'm going to win the lottery. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know what day it's going to happen. You all heard it here, but I will win lottery. And then I had kids, and I sort of lost that mojo. You know, I have little kids. I have a 5 and a 7-year-old. And I feel like Elaine is back, and I'm, you know, starting to get on my feet, and I got my mojo back, and here I am telling this story. And it's like miracles can really happen. I mean, it's amazing that Elaine is functional and has a child, and she took the LSAT. It's really a miracle. So I just want to, you know, tell you miracles can happen, and I will win Lotto too. So you heard it here. Thank you.
Next, story slammer Aaron Patterson goes on a lifelong bookbender.
All right, I'm a virgin to this whole thing. This is the first time out here, so this is pretty fun. So, all right, I keep hearing addictions aren't bad, and I'm kind of, I agree. I am an addict, and I'm actually a Rita Chocolate-rita-holic in so many ways. And I've been sober for, like, we've been here how long? A few hours. So I'm doing really good. I'm going to just take you through kind of my first addictions and kind of bring you through my life. So my first one was actually reading, which you all are probably pretty shocked. Who gets addicted to reading? That's really macho. I read over summer break in high school over 100 books. So I had so many friends, you can't even believe. Really popular guy. And you can go blind for 24 hours if you read under your covers with a flashlight too long. Did it, yeah. I thought that was the end of my life. Books are over. So that was the first one. And, you know, I kind of got over that when I finally... You know, I was getting college age, and I'm like, you know, I should probably make some friends. And just the book friends were always there, and they weren't really doing anything for me anymore. So the next one is down the road a little bit more. And I was not a computer guy. You know, I liked books and all the nerdy stuff and outdoors things. I used to make fun of people who played video games. I'm like, what a retard who plays video games. Like, you sit around in front of a computer. Like, really? So I never had a computer, and this was like maybe 2000-something, where computers were pretty prevalent. So a friend of mine had this computer game, and I'm a boy, so you make superheroes, and you can make, like, the cape and the costume and the whole thing, and then you, like, level up, and then it's online, so you get to play with all your friends. And so he got me suckered into this. And I have an addictive personality, so I got to watch it, what I get addicted to, because, you know, that's why I don't drink and smoke and all that. I'd be probably dead. So he knew I love superheroes and reading and all this stuff, so he gets me hooked on this, and we start playing online. Well, I go out, and I buy the nicest computer. I have one built for this game, because I'm like, this game's pretty cool. So every waking minute, I don't think I worked much in that time period. And I realized what had happened when my wife sits me down. We're sitting on the porch, and she's like, you know, it's me or the game. And I'm looking at her like, can I have some time to think about this? Because... I got another character that's almost level 50, and my friends on this game, like, we have appointments, and I got responsibilities. This thing, so. Anyway, needless to say, I don't play the game anymore, so. But I soon found another addiction, which has been through my whole life, and that's coconut. Ugh. All things coconut. I mean, coconut coffee with coconut creamer, coconut cookies. I'll put coconut on anything, and it's like, I just love coconut. I haven't kicked that one, just so you know. So anyway, during all this time, I finally realized, I said, you know, I'm just going to be addicted to some, just whatever. So I got to be real careful. So with my coffee addiction, I will cycle off every so often for a month just to make sure I got it under control. So I do that, and, you know, gum or anything else, I got to just watch it. So I said, you know, I might as well just admit I'm an addict about whatever I like. And so I need to create a job based on my addiction. So at least my addiction can pay me something, right? It's about time my addiction gave me something. So if I was a drinker, I'd become a bartender and be the best dang bartender out there and have all these women buy me drinks, right? Eh? Built Lego business? There we go. Yeah, okay. So I decided to try my hand at writing, and so I soon became addicted to that. And when you start writing, which, by the way, is paying the bills and quit my job, so woohoo, it pays. But kind of went from there, where pretty soon that started changing things, where pretty soon I was writing about people I know and then creating people that don't exist, and pretty soon... So you got to still kind of watch that. But needless to say, all that is my advice to all us addicts out there, is create an income around your addiction. You know, if you're like me and you just love coconut, you know, move to Hawaii or the Bahamas and make, you know, coconut drinks or whatever you want to do. That's my story. And if there's anyone out there that, you know, wants to be my next addiction, just let me know. Because I can also get addicted to people, so it's happened.
Thank you for listening. Story Night is brought to you by presenting partner the Boise State Story Initiative, venue partner the Lennon Building, design partner Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner, Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Night theme is by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for the final dose of stories from Hooked. Learn more at storystorynight.org.